welcome back to the Sideshow Podcast, episode 335. This week, in Bands Across America, we will be hitting New Hampshire. We have three other album reviews to do, two of which are bands we've done before. One's brand new. Actually, just not just to the show, just period. They dropped their debut album. We'll be getting to them a bit later. First, something completely random, and I thought of in the car today. I wanted to hear your thoughts, Nick, and anyone else who wants to chime in. So I was listening to some newer Dark Tranquility on the way home from work today. It was Construct. And so I was thinking how Kyle always yelled, and actually yelled at me at this for misusing the term melodic death metal, because to me, like all those Gothenburg bands, they started out that way. So I've kind of stuck it there. But we all know most of them have evolved like Dark Tranquility. But I don't like calling it just melodic metal, because to me, that's a band like Master Plan. That's like Border Power, but not quite. Would it be wrong to label a band such as newer Dark Tranquility or sound like that to be post-melodic death metal?
Oh, Jesus.
That's exactly the way I thought you'd react.
I mean, probably.
Because I was thinking about that further. You don't have post-death metal. There's post-black metal, post-thrash, post-hardcore. I don't recall ever seeing post-death metal as a thing. And frankly, I don't know quite what that would be. But if...
Is that just where they added melody? Is melodic death post-death?
Oh, that's deep.
That genre, this doesn't work. My logic here fails with the black metal thing, because that's been around forever too. But like, the genre of death metal has been around so long that you saw all these splinters and different things from it that all have their own names now that we call them, you know, tech death, brutal death, progressive death, melodic death, whatever. But like, you know, we had hardcore and then metalcore and post-hardcore, and those are like the only versions of that we really have. So everything kind of gets lumped into one of those three, but death metal as a whole is so fractured that we don't really have like a here's the original version and here's everything that came after. But maybe that would be an accurate term. I'm not going to start using it. You sure can.
I'm not sure I'm going to either, but like I feel that's like very accurate, because it still sounds like, especially for a band that started in that way. And I think that's where my logic fails here, because I can't think of a ton of bands that sound like modern Gothenburg bands, like present day Gothenburg bands. Like that's a band that started out like late Dark Tranquility, you know? So I'm sure I was overthinking it, but that occurred to me. And that was pretty much how I thought you were going to react. So
That's weird and a challenge. Speaking of Kyle, I had a nightmare the other night. For anyone that doesn't remember, that hasn't been listening to this show for all 335 episodes, we had another co-host when we started, and still do on occasion, and that's our good buddy Kyle, who is one of the most contrarian and willing to argue a point people that you will ever meet, for better or worse, when it comes to talking about a lot of bands, but always a blast. And I had a woke me up from a dead sleep nightmare the other night that the three of us were recording a podcast, and I had the unfortunate position of enjoying catharsis and having to defend it, not only to you, but to him as well. And the thought of having to do that, I found apparently fucking mortifying.
This is so fucking great.
So that's a real thing that happened in my life.
I love that catharsis has damaged you so much. You're having a nightmare about the possibility of enjoying it.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, so let's hope that doesn't happen.
That's so great. So what was your reaction when you woke up and remembered that? Did you just go, what the fuck is wrong with me?
Yeah, pretty much. It was one of those, like, early morning-ish, like I've already kind of woken up but fallen back asleep, that like mid-sleep nightmares where like you can kind of remember it vividly and know it's really weird even as it's happening, but is no less weird when you come to a full state of consciousness. So like that was the first thing I was thinking when I woke up. This is probably like last Thursday. Like the first thought I had as I opened my eyes in the morning was
oh man, that's fucking gold.
Yep.
All right. Yep. Well, on that note, let's get into the first of our reviews this week, which will be Alter Beast's second album, Feast, which is out now on Unique Leader. And so it's funny. I didn't re-listen to the previous album until a little, like an hour ago. I was sampling it a bit. And in what I did sample, it occurred to me they didn't change drastically, which is usually a good thing. Especially on your second album, and we've had many discussions of, you know, sophomore slumps and such. But I remember really enjoying, well, maybe really strong, but I remember enjoying Immortal, their debut. And the whole time I'm listening to Feast, I'm going, eh. It seemed, so their musicianship is impressive. They play a good tech death, really. But between the vocal stylings very similar to being Black Dahlia Murder and the song structures being also relatively similar, especially to newer Black Dahlia Murder, and not changing drastically through the album, I feel like in a vacuum, this would be a pretty solid album. But as it stands, it's just exactly what I said before. Meh. It just felt kind of samey, like I heard it before and was starting to get bored with it in its short runtime. That said, anything that stood out was closer to the end of the album. The groove in Apex Night Eclipse, which we'll be playing for you, is something that stood out to me a little bit by the time we got there. And like Upon the Face of the Deep, which is a little different, plays with some more textures and stuff, stood out to me a little bit, but it's literally the last track. There's nothing inherently wrong with this album. I just feel like we've heard so many similar things in recent time that it just did not stand out. It was not unique enough to really stand on its own. It's still solid, and they've still got plenty of room for growth because all the skill is there. But I just felt underwhelmed as a whole.
Yeah. I had a hard time putting a finger on what I did or did not enjoy about this, but it did grab me. There was no point at it where I was like, this is amazing. It kind of just washed over. And I don't know if there's a few factors that can lead to that. One, it's very similar to a lot of stuff that we've heard before. Two, the production is not as crisp or as rich as their previous album is, which is a weird kind of backward step for being a sophomore album. Especially being out on the same label, you would think production standards would be relatively similar, if not an improvement with each release. But it's both a very consistent album, but also feels inconsistent in a way of the band hasn't yet found what their identity is. It feels like they want to be Black Dahlia Murder. It feels like you have some influence, like you get some keys thrown in like once, twice, that are a little weird. I mean, you get them in the beginning of like Welcome to Your Doom. The intro has some like, you know, piano here and there, but there's also some in, I think, Coffin Crescendo. I might be wrong on that. But they bring in some different elements a couple times, but like not enough to make it be like part of the band or sound like it was intentional and well executed. It feels like let's try to find something to make this different and make it more interesting and grab people. And it just kind of missed for me of like, this is a band with a lot of potential. They can play the shit out of their instruments. They're very technical. It's very fast. The guitar playing is really good, but they haven't found something that is truly their own, dare I say, unique yet. And it just kind of, it doesn't stand out for me. It just kind of like washed over. There's nothing inherently bad about anything on here. It just failed to make it.
Well, and I think part of the wash is the start of the album. The first three songs are all very fast, very similar paced. And if you're not paying attention, could bleed together. And when you hit Feast, it has a very stompy, slow, like, first third of the song. So you're no matter what, your ears perk up a little bit. And then it goes back into the speed they had before. But then, to, like you mentioned, playing with keyboards or whatnot, the next to last track is a cover of a Dissection song, Where Dead Angels Lie. So you get – they So that's actually – you get an acoustic guitar start, and it pays some homage to the original song in some of the guitar line. Well, I shouldn't say homage. They play more like the original with some of the guitar lines and stuff, which are atypical to a lot of the rest of what they have done. So it stands out, but it's because really it's a cover, and what they could do is take that influence further into the rest of the music. So again, plenty of room for growth. That you could, they're starting to show a little more what they want to do and where their influences lie, but their true identity, I feel, is still being revealed.
It's yeah. still yet to
so,
come.
To, it's yeah. a three. It's okay. Like, I wouldn't skip over any track if it came on, but I don't know if it's as memorable as they want it to be.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. So I don't also think that this is a step down from the last album, which you and I both gave fours, but I think the lack of growth and kind of just sameness of it, and also the fact that it's been 4 years almost to the day since we last reviewed them, and we've got a lot of similar music to this now, kind of makes it not quite so impressive and not so standoutish. So yeah, it's fine, but it's not, it didn't floor.
All right, so that'll be 2 threes for Alter Beast Feast. It's out now on Unique Leader. Check out the song Apex Night Eclipse.
Yeah.
All right, that was Apex Night Eclipse from Alter Beast's latest Feast, out on Unique Leader. The next one we're covering is another band that's been around for a while that we have reviewed once before. I meant to pull this up before I started talking, and I didn't, so I'm going to do that while I talk. Okay, that is Necrophobia. Well, I hadn't... Okay, I should have just thrown the band name out because I had that. I'm just looking up when we last covered them. The album is Mark of the Necrogram from Necrophobic. It's out on Century Media. We last covered them all the way back in episode 111.
Yeah.
Been a while. Yeah. That's what I was trying to key up. So this is only, at least, I think I'm speaking for both of us, our second experience with this band. At least it is mine.
I bought a couple older albums after last time, but...
Yeah, I did some digging because I didn't before, as is not generally my thing. But this album is different enough than the last one we covered, Womb of Lithu, that I needed to know where the progression happened. And it's basically the same band, but of recycled members. So it's the vocalist from the first album only, and then the rhythm and lead guitar player that did the bulk of the catalog, but weren't on the last album. So it's all people that have been in the band before, but it sees kind of a refreshed lineup and a couple members that haven't actually been in the band at overlapping times. Additionally, the production is so much better on this. It's like, so this is by and large a black metal band. You can call them melodic black metal, blackened death, progressive, whatever the fuck you want to call them. Their roots are firmly entrenched within black metal. And this is the production I would like to see from all black metal bands going forward. We'll just set this as the gold standard that everybody else can try to meet. Because it is robust. There is low end. There is bass. The bass drum doesn't sound like somebody shoved like 4,000 pillows in it. It actually punches. The vocals are right up front where you would expect a vocalist to be. This is done with really modern, good, crisp production, but played in the traditional style of black metal, albeit with more lead work and guitar solos and, you know, a little bit better writing, I would argue. But it is, at its core, definitely a black metal album, but delivered with production that I can enjoy. And that shows off what they're doing. Because, I mean, for me, my biggest barrier to entry with the majority of black metal that we cover, even what I like of it, has always been, I feel like I just used this for Alter Beast, but the wash of it all. Like, everything is very mid-centric, not a lot of lows, not a lot of super highs. Everything's a little bit faded and a little bit dead sounding, which makes any of the technicality or any of the interesting riffing kind of get lost at the speed in which they're playing it. But when you deliver something with really modern production, you can pay attention to it. You hear the riffs, you hear the technicality, you hear the nuance and interesting parts going on. And then you also get a band that's talented, like Necrophobic, that delivers some really good lead works, some interesting grooves, and isn't afraid to stray away from more traditional black metal tropes. And delivers just a really well-composed, interesting album that holds your attention really well the whole way. I found every listen of this to be rewarding. It's fast, it's stompy, it has really good lead work, it has intricate guitar playing, everything is balanced really well. This is a solid album through and through, regardless of whatever genre tag you want to lump on it. I enjoyed it a whole lot.
Yes, this was good, and... it's really, I feel like literally every time we talk about some black metal album we're reviewing, it's the same thing, because it's something not 100% straightforward, and it has, I should say, every album, black album we cover that we like is not 100% straightforward and has good production. So it's definitely a big barrier to entry. And, you know, as anyone who's been listening a little bit knows we've been doing a lot of searching around Bandcamp for things, and there's a lot and lot and lot of fucking black metal on there. And some of it sounds like utter shit. Some of it I've been coming across as like suicidal or depressive black metal, and just like, I don't care how well that's produced. No.
yeah.
Some of the folky stuff or atmospheric stuff is produced a little better, but not always a rich modern production as it should be. Some of it's there, but then some of it also has just vocals that are like unintelligible, scathing howls that don't appeal either. Mm-hmm. The point of all that is what Necrophobic does is takes all the little pieces of things we like and throws it into one thing. There's – if you look them up in Metal Archives, they're listed as death slash black metal. And the death has a very small presence, I feel.
Yeah, I would use that very, very loosely.
You get a bit of a Slayer influence here in how some songs start, how some of the lead work goes. But you get to call it melodic black metal. It doesn't quite hit a Cradle of Filth level melody in most instances, but you know, it's arguable, like even the chorus of course I picked the one that's hard to pronounce, Odium Caesium, the second track. And it hits the bridge, hits the refrain there. It's got bigger melodies to it, but it never quite gets into some cheesier realm. It's grounded in blast beats and the darkness you'd expect. But like Nick said, what they did different, say, than Alter Beast is while they have all the speed and the technicality that you need for the black metal and the basic sounds, there's enough variation from track to track. None of it bleeds together. There's blast beats galore, but it's broken up, whether it be through a groove or just a different speed of a song. The writing is consistent in quality, not in overall sound. And that's what makes this a 4 of an album as opposed to a meh 3 of an album. I enjoyed this too. And it's funny because I remember enjoying Womb of Lilithu and now listening to it again next to this. I don't know how much I'm going to go back to that when we have such a better production.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really a night and day difference. And this is, I would say, better in just about every way. Production is better. The songwriting is more robust. The balance of all the instrumentation, the lead work, everything about this is just better. This is great. We're going to play the song Sacrosanct for you from Necrophobic's latest Mark of the Necrogram out on Century Media. Check it out. We'll be right back. right. Moving on from Necrophobic, we are heading to our Bands Across America segment. This week finds us in New Hampshire, which was added to the Union on June 21st, 1778. Couldn't find a lot of really great, interesting facts about New Hampshire, but here's two for you. The second highest surface speed ever, surface wind speed ever officially recorded at 231 miles an hour was recorded at the top of Mount Washington. Also, the first potato ever planted in the U.S. happened in New Hampshire in 1719. So those are things that New Hampshire did. So the band we found here, we picked from a whole bunch. New Hampshire has some good bands. The band we landed on is Womb Eater with their two-song demo. It's a whopping 3 minutes of music. This is noisy, grind, power, violence, just chaos. And that's kind of why we landed on it, because a lot of what we were finding was similar to things that we've been talking about recently, from very similar to some other bands that we've covered in the Bands Across America for a little bit. And even though this is really short from a band that is very young, they didn't even have a Facebook account prior to March of last year. They only have two songs recorded. There's not a lot of information about them at all, other than what I just told you. This was different. This had an energy and intensity to it that demanded our attention, that even though it was the least of music to kind of check out for us for the week, it was the one that instantly was like, I want to know more about this. I want to hear more. So for the purpose of doing a Band Across America thing, they seemed like the obvious pick to go with and tell our listening audience, you, to go check out, because this is impressive. And there's only two songs, but there, I'm assuming, will be more, and I'm looking forward to it. So we wanted to plug them.
Yeah. I think the key thing of what you said is it demanded your attention. Like, I searched through just about all the metal you could find from New Hampshire on Bandcamp. And to specify how I did that was, in case anyone's trying to play along, you go to the app, not the website.
Not
and you can put
website.
In custom location. So I just did New Hampshire and scrolled through all the bands. Like we had said when we started, and just as a reminder, the band has to still be active to be featured. So if the band had put out something really old, there's nothing new on there, I probably didn't check it out. So, and chances are they weren't there. We found a couple of their decent ones, but this one was just like, goddamn, it's so abrasive. It's a little math core. It's a bit grind core. It's a bit power violence. It is a bit death metal. It is just abrasive as fuck, with literally bits of everything I just described. And something like, I almost hope an album is no longer than a Nails album, because that might be too much to digest.
That's fair. Yeah.
But seeing them in a bar or a small venue is going to be very different than a lot of the other bands. Or I shouldn't say a lot. A couple of the other bands we mentioned, it's going to hurt. But in the best way possible.
Yes. Please come to Western Massachusetts. I will go see you play.
If it's on a weekend, I might make my way up to his house to do that too.
Yeah. Yeah. Play 13th floor. They book heavy bands. Do that. I will be there. All right, so we're going to play one of these two songs for you. It was a coin toss. They're both good. We're going to play the first one, called Decomposer, from the band Womb Eater. Check it out.
Yeah!
So that was some Moon Eater with their song Decomposer. It's one of the two songs on their demo, which you should just go check out the minute and a half of the other song because it's fucking rad.
If you like that, yeah, you'll like the other one.
Pretty much. We look forward to hearing more from them. Last but not least, we have the newcomer, Letters from the Colony. Their debut album, Vignette, was put out on Nuclear Blast quite recently. What's interesting, though, is they were founded in 2010, and they have a very long biography here. I have not had the chance to read all of, but it sounds like they had a lot of hardships getting the band together and situated and members and yada, yada, yada. So this is a long time coming. Band is from Sweden and sounds a lot like Meshuggah. Like, a lot like Meshuggah. Mm. To the point of, correct me if I'm wrong, isn't Meshuggah on Nuclear Blast?
You would know that better than I would, so I'm going to defer to you, but yeah, I'm going to look it up right now.
I am, like, 99% sure they're on the same fucking label.
Hey, you know what makes sense when searching your file? Don't just search for Nuclear Blast. We've covered a lot of that. Look for Meshuggah. We've only done a couple. Idiot. Yes, okay. They are.
So, like I said, they're a young band. It's their debut, so having a base of being Meshuggah Jr. is a good place to start. There's some other influences, audible influences in there. Like, I'm going to say Between the Bear and Me because the band has said it, but one could argue early Tesseract, something like that, adding a little more melody or atmosphere, but in very random places. It's kind of inconsistent. The production doesn't really have the weight of Meshuggah, but the playing is similar. The vocals are, I'm going to say, 85 to 90% Jens Kidman, and the other 10% of the guy from Nothing Face, which Nick pointed out, but it's definitely there. But when you read any other review of this, they're just going to point out Meshuggah. And you know what? To that end, they're good. They're good at playing a modern post-thrash / degent. The songs are crafted well, and everything is played expertly. It's like I said with Alter Beast, it lacks its own identity. Now, again, they're a brand new band. Well, as far as this release is concerned, there's a lot of places for them to go starting this kind of sound. The slight problem is you've started somewhere between a band that's fully grown and everybody loves to a movement that's dying out. So how are you going to stand out amongst that? And that's what I'm interested to see. Said the talent is there, but I feel like a lot of degenti type bands we come across, I immediately get turned off from because I'm over it. But when you do listen to them, they either sound very too similar to the bands that have influenced them, or they just fall into metalcore with that style of production. This definitely has progressive writing, could be slightly more akin to Between the Buried and Me with a lot of the Meshuggah, but it still, again, sounds exactly like what I'm saying, the other bands. So, like I said with Alter Beast, there's nothing wrong with it. It's solid, especially for a debut, but it needs its own identity and uniqueness.
Yeah. I have one other band to throw out there that I came across reading a couple of reviews that pretty much all compared them to Meshuggah. And that's a band that we reviewed a long time ago that I kind of forgot existed until I read the name of. I can't pronounce it because it's not English and I'm terrible at that. Viljarna?
Yes.
You remember by name? That was episode 9. And that to me is the closest split. Like the degenti style and sound of this definitely has more of the Meshuggah influence and weight, but the blend of like the atmosphere that they were going for on that Viljarda mm-hmm. album is where these guys are going. It has that kind of... It has an atmosphere to it that Meshuggah doesn't. I mean, Meshuggah focuses on it. Like, that is what that band is. They don't care about melody. They don't care about atmosphere. That is a band of just pummeling weight. And these guys have a lot of that, but the melody they work in and the way they work it in feels a little bit more reminiscent of that and a little less Tesseract to me, but I totally... I mean, yes. Right. It has that kind of same... you know, spacey atmospheric vibe that you get from many of the more progressive Degent offerings. But otherwise, I don't have anything really else to add or take away from this. It's a solid debut that left me wondering where they go and what they're going to do to stand apart more going forward. Because Meshuggah only gets better with time and their albums continue to be more impressive. That as long as they're a force out there to be reckoned with, you got to do something a little bit different because you're probably not going to do it a little bit better. No offense to you. But like you're going toe to toe with the juggernaut.
Like. Well, I mean, to that point too, like comparing it to that band Viljarda or however you pronounce it.
Right. Sure.
They put out one album and if I recall one EP, and then went away. So either they fade into the obscurity and I don't know of anything they released after that, or they broke up or something happened. So like that might have been a standout at the moment, which was 2011. And for those really into the style of sound, the sound of the style, flip it, reverse it, well, remember that, but the rest of us who have moved on to bigger and greater things, to me, that album didn't stick with me. Besides naming the other bands I know I can compare it to, I could not tell you what that sounds like.
Yeah, I went and listened to it again this week after seeing that name get banged about a couple times. I was like, all right, I need to remember who these guys were. And I was like, all right, that's a very accurate direct comparison. Probably not helpful for our listeners because most people probably don't know who that band is. So yeah, Tesseract meets Meshuggah is a much more apt depiction of what these guys sound like, which is to say two bands I absolutely love. Putting them in a blender, not a bad thing. I just feel like there's room for growth and more identity finding. Very similar to how I felt about the Alter Beast album. Like, solid writing, very technical, very well played, just left me thinking of other bands that I listen to that sound more similar that I'm already more comfortable with. So just a little bit more growth.
So remember when I told you before we started recording, my notes on one of the reviews was pretty much to reference the other one. My note for this was see Alter Beast review, but change Black Dahlia to Meshuggah. Like it's really, I say the same things just about different styles and comparisons, but yeah, it's the three of an album. And especially for a debut, it's arguably a little more impressive than, you know, the other band, but the room for the potential for growth here is what is most interesting and promising, and I hope to see them fulfill that.
Agreed.
So with that, we're going to play the song Glass Palaces from Vignette at the end of the show. That is the debut album from Letters from the Colony. It's out on Nuclear Blast. Next week for 336, I think we're going to do the new Wake album, Misery Rites. The other two have yet to be determined, and the state we will be hitting is Virginia. So we do not know what band from that state we will be doing. So if anyone wants – no, by the time you hear this, it'll be too late. But if you do have suggestions for any of the other states –
we should start plugging two ahead.
Yeah.
That would make more sense.
Those of you playing along or want to start playing along. 2 weeks out, New York, followed by North Carolina, Rhode Island, Vermont, and Kentucky.
There's 5 weeks for you. Focus on that. Pick us bands.
Please. I have one potential note for North Carolina, only because I happened to come across the band before on Bandcamp. But if you're in the band and want to send us the music, do it through the SideshowPodcast.com. There's a contact us page on the site. If you're up, you could also use that if you're a friend of the band, saw the band live once, found it on Bandcamp or stuff. I don't care. As long as they're from the state and not like, you know, Lamb of God from Virginia, then, you know, we'll check it out at the least. But we'd love to get your guys' participation. If you have anything else we should be checking out, new albums, stuff we're missing, please give us suggestions. Some of you have done it before. We found some great stuff that way. You could also hit us up through all the social media, which you can link to over on that site, which is thesideshowpodcast.com. That's enough. Check out the song Glass Palaces from Letters from the Colony off their debut album Vignette out on Nuclear Blast. Come back next week for episode 336.